Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Unlimited Realities. I'm your host, Lisa Zimmer, and today we have a really great guest. I've been looking forward to this. We have Dr. Dane here, who is going to talk to us about Access Consciousness, which he is a part of, as well as the author of Being You, Changing the World. And we're going to discuss how we can move through transformation, blocks, situations in our lives that really keep us stuck. And the expert here is Dr. Dane here. Dane, thank you so much for joining us on Unlimited Realities today. I know you're a very, very busy man, so thank you for being here.
Lisa, thank you so much for having me. And can I just tell you, I love the name of your show because that is exactly what's necessary at this time in the world. So thank you very much for having me.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that. Yes, I agree. I agree that Unlimited Realities and open minds and hearts is what it's all about, isn't it? And, you know, your work is really quite phenomenal in regard to how many people you really affect internationally. And I know you travel quite a bit in teaching people basically how to tap into their own essence and energy and power. And how you do that is phenomenal. I was watching some of your videos. It's really an incredible energetic synthesis that you really provide for people. Now, I want to get into your book, Being You, Changing the World, which will be on bookshelves very, very soon. And you talk a lot about how you got to where you are right now today. And let's start a little bit with your background, because you were trained as a medical chiropractor. And kind of feeling, you know, that spot in your life where things aren't really flowing in harmony. You kind of got to a point in your life where you were ready to ditch everything. So, and then it was, I believe, Gary Douglas who came in and as a patient and really literally changed your life. Can we talk a little bit about that transformation for you? Because that's really like the stepping stone for where you are today, isn't it?
Yeah, it absolutely is. And the thing about that is, you know, 11 years ago when I came across Access Consciousness, I was starting my second chiropractic practice. And, you know, I had what from the outside looked like the perfect life to people. You know, here I am, I'm a doctor and I'm living in Santa Barbara, which is paradise, and everything must be going wonderfully in my life, except nobody except me knows, including my fiance at the time, that every morning when I was waking up, I was waking up so depressed and unhappy and that I would literally cry when she would go to work because I had tried so many things to make my life work, but it still wasn't happening. And I got to a place where I said, Universe, here's the deal. You've got 6 months. Either my life gets better and I start having fun and enjoying it and this elephant gets off my head or I'm killing myself. And I don't care which it is. You know what? Either death or happiness, I'm headed in that direction, you know? And literally a week later, I saw an ad for this tiny little ad that said, Access Consciousness. All of life comes to me with ease and joy and glory. And I was so furious that somebody would say ease and joy and glory. In my head, I was like, you don't know what my life is like. My life is pain, suffering, and glory. I hate being alive. And so I threw the paper away. Well, this particular paper comes out once a week. And guess what the only thing I saw the following week when I was leafing through the paper looking for nothing in particular, Access Consciousness. All of life comes to me with ease and joy and glory. And I got so angry again and I went, wait a minute. Because I learned long before that if you're really resistant to something, there's probably something there for you. You just don't know what it is yet. I gave the girl a call and I said, what do you do? And she said, oh, all kinds of stuff. And I was like, just give me something. What do you do? She said, well, we do one thing called the bars. And it's this real simple hands-on process. I'll just put my hands on your head for a little while. And I've done all the weird stuff before that. So putting somebody's hands on my head was like, okay, fine. I said, what will it do? She said, well, at the worst, you feel like you had a good massage. At the best, your whole life will change. And I didn't realize until I was giving a class a couple of years ago that, you know, she said your whole life will change, but that was exactly what I had demanded. I didn't even realize that I demanded it and the universe delivered that quickly.
Yeah.
So I go and I have this session. She puts her hands on my head, and I start giggling like a little child. And every time she moves her hands, I giggle more. And so after about an hour and a half, I get up, and it's the first sense of peace I've had in almost 3 years. And it was the first time I remembered knowing, wow, oh, my God, everything's okay. Everything always will be. And it was, to say it changed my life, it literally saved my life. And so from there, you know, I took a few of the classes, sort of tentatively, because even though it saved my life and it opened up this great sense of space, I still didn't really want to believe it because I'd done so many other things and was at the place of being so disappointed in life I wanted to kill myself. So I sort of tiptoed into it. And one day the founder of Access calls for a session in my office. He calls and says, I would like a chiropractic appointment. And I'm like, really? You're the founder of Access, right? He's all, yeah. Oh, this ought to be interesting, you know? Okay.
Right.
I try this, you know? And he comes in and he says, look, I know what you're doing. There's three levels of care to it. He said, but the first two don't work on me, so you're going to have to go straight to the third, except I'd never done that in my office before. And so I didn't know. I had no idea what to do. And he said, look, just talk to my body, follow the energy, and you'll know what to do. And it was the first time ever that anybody told me that I would know what to do. And it broke something in me. And, you know, because prior to that point, I was, you know, I was sort of the redheaded stepchild of every technique I'd ever tried. You know, I'm like, am I the only one not getting this? You know, why is this happening? You know, and when he said, you'll know what to do, it just opened up something in me. And on the one hand, I was going, oh, you don't know who I am. I don't know anything. I seem to be crap at everything I try. And on the other hand, I went, really? I do? And from that place, I started working on him. And it opened up this way of working with bodies that I now call the energetic synthesis of being. But what happened was I'm standing 15 feet away from him at one point, and I've got my hand in the air, and I'm working on him from 15 feet away, something I'd never done before. But he said I would know what to do, so I just kind of, I was like, yeah, okay, I'll try this, right? And he's face down, and I turn my hand left, and his neck lifts up, and he turns his head left. And then I turn my hand right, and his neck lifts up, and he turns right. I'm going, oh, my God, what is happening? And I'm looking at my hand like, have you always been able to do this? No? Why didn't you tell me? You know?
No kidding.
And he says, that was incredible. And I was like, really? Me? And it literally took me working with, oh, I don't know, probably 200 people before I started realizing, wow, people are really getting something from this. So
wow.
Since then, it's been this really interesting journey of exploring the places where people consider limitation are real, you know, here in this reality at large and also in individuals' lives, and then what we can do to unlock it. And that's really what it's about.
Now, it's an energetic thing because you started off as a chiropractor, which is a direct manipulation of the body, a physical manipulation, and then you moved into an energetic, co-work, co-creating with the patient. Is that right? I mean, it's because you're in regard to the three levels. What the third level, of course, being the energetic one. Are there differences from the first two? Are the first two more physically manipulative?
Well, actually, those were actually sort of the old levels, the old chiropractic technique that I was doing. With what I do now, there are no levels. It's just you start where you are, and as far as Access Consciousness goes, it's like you come in at whatever point, you know, if you want to change something in your life, let's say you're unhappy like I was, bars is a really good place to start. But there's also all kinds of other classes you can take to change specific areas of your life. And it's all based on the energetics of it. And what I've found is that people are far greater than they recognize. You know,
right.
They're far greater than they know, and they go around in this sort of artificial haze, like self-induced haze of judgment that cuts off the options that they would have available. And so a big part of what I do is help them to see the beauty that they are, the phenomenalness that they are, that they've got capacities far greater than they've ever imagined, because one thing I found is true. Almost every limitation we believe we have is actually a greatness that we haven't yet been able to acknowledge.
Mm-hmm. And now, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, no problem. I'm after you.
No, there's this delay when I speak, and so I'm constantly learning this delay with every guest I have on here. I'll say something, and then I think they didn't hear me, or you know. So I'm still playing with that. I apologize if I cut you off.
No problem.
I see this as an emergence for the greater consciousness of what's happening in our lives everywhere, exponentially right now, because we have this energy that is buzzing around us, and if you are tapped in and aware of your own essence, you're definitely feeling the buzz. And so what it sounds like to me is you're really just really tapped in to the point where that just comes in so naturally for you that you can distribute that and access that for others. Am I following you correctly, or do I need to be tweaked a little bit here?
Well, so how about if we do both? How about there is a correctness in that, and the tweak that I would say is what's different for me about access is it's about clearing away the things that don't allow all of us to tap into the energies that we have available to create change and to create possibilities.
Okay, all right.
So this is not I do it to you, although, yeah, I will facilitate classes and do sessions and that. But the aim of it always is who can you be as a result of it? What capacities do you have that you just haven't been able to tap into yet? So that for me is where it's different than everything else that I had personally done. And when you have this, you know, as somebody receiving a session or a treatment, when you can realize that and have an awareness in your bones that, you know what, I'm not wrong anymore.
Mm-hmm.
There's actually something right about me that I'm not getting, and that's one of the questions we give people is, what's right about you you're not getting? When you get that, no one can ever take it away, and your life changes that day.
Now, do you find that depending upon where the person's at is their receptivity, how much they're able to receive or how much they're able to transform within. So the level of openness perhaps would be a greater benefit, of course, to receiving that energetic shift. But where does somebody go who's coming from a place of, you know, real doubt, like they're coming to you and have you experienced this, where somebody has come to you and they've been recommended by somebody. So they're not really coming there of their own design. They're kind of being prodded a little bit. And so they've got a little bit of some blocks. And as you start to go through those layers, you see, or they even recognize within themselves that they're opening up. Have you seen a lot of those aha moments within people who may have come in a closed down state and kind of like shed their armor, their layers, their crap, their being able to like blossom before your eyes? I mean, obviously everyone does who comes to you, but I imagine some who have more, you know, stumbling blocks would have more of an awakening moment with that. Is that true?
Yeah, that's true on the one hand. And the difference seems to be somebody's willingness to change. You know,
okay.
I've had husbands who have been prodded by their wives to come to me, and they're sitting there, you know, kind of sullen, kind of not even looking me in the eye. And I'm like, do you really want to be here? No,
right.
My wife made me come. Well, you know what? Here's your money. See you later, because if you don't want to be here, I don't either, you know? So, and literally in doing that, they go, wait a minute, what do you mean? I'm like, take your money and go home. I said, you know, if you desire something, I can help facilitate that. But if you don't, no problem. Here's your cash. Have a great day. Nice knowing you. Great meeting you. Enjoy the cup of coffee we shared. I'll see you later. And they go, huh. And then sometimes they go, wait a minute, maybe there is something I desire. And then sometimes they are grateful that somebody is not, you know, out there trying to get their money and not give them anything. Because for me, it's about the change that people are willing to have and giving them as much as possible. You know, why I wrote the book is because, from my point of view, what we need to know is that change is truly possible. And in it, I navigate people from the place of, you know, yeah, we function from judgment in most of our lives, and yet you're greater than this. What would you like to choose? And here are the tools to start making it happen. And once people see that, for the people that desire change, once they see that it's actually a possibility, it gives them the hope to carry on and ask for greater and greater changes that are the things they'd really like to have. And that's
right.
The fun part.
Right.
Know?
And also, do they like, when they're coming to you, you know, we all are seeking. Everyone who's listening to this program on some level is seeking and changing, looking to grow. But they're also coming to a point in themselves where, you know, there's got to be that open heart, that receptivity, that ability to really, okay, I'm accepting what you're sending me. I'm accepting what you're... And I really love the story where you were talking about working on one person and there was somebody else in the room laying down on a massage table, and they started to have the energetic shift. They started to feel the energy that you were working with on the one person. And that, in fact, kind of morphed into you doing rooms of people energetically. So, you know, I really like the concept because I believe all of us kind of go through this phase of, you know, when it's a one-on-one, we deal with that energy of that person. But your you know, instruction and your wisdom and your insight and your talents are all coming through in mass amounts. So talk to us a little bit about how that works. Is it the positive energy of everyone in the room that you're pulling working with? Is that what makes the other person you weren't intentionally working on move and vibrate and shift and all of that?
Well, actually, I like to describe it this way, is that consciousness always desires more of itself. And consciousness is actually the easiest energetic state to maintain. Now, when I talk about consciousness, most people go, well, my eyes are open, I must be conscious. Mm-hmm. No, not necessarily. The way I define consciousness is this. It's where everything exists and nothing is judged. Could you imagine if just today, if you had woken up with no judgment, no elephant sitting on your head, and had no judgment as you went to shower and when you looked in your body and normally did that litany of judgment, imagine if it weren't there. And then imagine if when you were talking to the people you cared about, there was no judgment, which would allow you the space of having total gratitude and total creation. Well, that is sort of, to me, what would be possible. And that's just, you know, a few minute snippet of what would be possible. If we function from consciousness, there'd be no judgment of anything. And that is inherently valuable to us. So, for example, what I see happening when I work on one person or work on the entire, you know, work on one person and the entire room gets it, is that because of that, because consciousness is actually this contribution, and because it makes people's lives and their bodies function with a lot more ease, when somebody else is having it, it's kind of like the way that, for me, it's sort of the way most change occurs. Usually the way you know you want something is when you see somebody else having it, and you're like, I'll have that, thank you very much. I didn't know that was possible. But now that you're having it, I know it's possible. It's exactly the same thing on an energetic level. When someone's body vibrates into a place of more ease, and let's say, you know, they had low back pain. Well, anybody else in the room who's got any of the creation of that kind of low back pain, their bodies go, ooh, I want some of that, thank you very much, and they just allow themselves to receive it. For me, it's part of the gift that we can be for each other when we're willing to be different, when we're willing to know that there's a different possibility available that's greater than what everybody else seems to see. Because one of the reasons I wanted to end it 11 years ago was because I knew these other possibilities should be available to us, these possibilities for a world where we could all hold hands, you know, where we don't have to separate from each other and hate each other and fight each other and kill each other and direct so much, you know, anger, rage, fury, hate, and vitriol at ourselves and each other anymore. And part of the reason I wanted to get out of here was because I didn't see it being created anywhere, and I doubted that it could be. And so to the best of my ability, what I'm inviting people to is the awareness that this harsh world that we find ourselves living in can be changed, and we are the ones that can change it. We are the only ones that will change it. If you're one of those people who knows that that's a necessity, then you know what? Here's all you have to do. You make the demand right now. No matter what it takes, I'm going to live my life in such a way as to be a contribution to that change. And then you ask the question, okay, what's that going to take? Because right now, universe, I don't know. And any time you ask a question, it opens up different doors of possibility for you, and the universe can show you different possibilities than you had before you asked a question like that.
And that's where that unlimited thinking comes in, and that unlimited approach to life and living, because when we are limited, it does reflect in our choices and our options. And when we're in that unlimited space of all potentiality, everything is new and opens up. And is that the essence you felt when you realized, hey, I don't want to end my life anymore? I mean, was it a light bulb moment, or was it something that, you know, 3 months into the original plan of ending your life in 6 months, you realized, hey, I'm really happy from where I was 3 months ago, and that was a silly thought. I mean, how did that transformation affect you, and how did that come to be?
Well, actually, it was a light bulb moment from the moment I had my bars run, that simple process on the head that the girl did. I never contemplated killing myself after that. And the reason was because I actually became viscerally aware of the energy I'd been looking for my whole life. The energy of being able to be all of me, with all of my cylinders kicking, with absolutely no judgment of anyone or anything and no separation from anything. And I had an awareness of it then that it could actually be possible. And, you know, I'd love to say, you know, I'd love to say I was like Eckhart Tolle, you know, I sat down on a bench and I woke up enlightened. Yeah, no, that wasn't exactly the case. But, you know.
Oh, I have my own thoughts on that, but we'll save that for another show.
Yes, we'll save that for another show. But, you know, I'm like, that was not me. I mean, I've slogged through, you know, the forest, the desert, the friggin' floods and the torrential rains, and, you know, felt like I've run the gauntlet even since then, but always with the awareness of, you know what, there's more possible, and it continues to change. And that's the invitation that I'd like to present to people. You know what, it's not always going to be easy, but you know what, you can do it. Just start now. Just take one step. And the biggest, I'd love to, if you have any desire, to do a little bit of this, what we call processing, for the people that are out there in radio land listening to your show, that, you know, so we might be able to just knock off some of the cobwebs that don't allow them to know that there's a different possibility available, if you'd be up
awesome.
For that.
I am so up for that, Dane. Yes, let's do it.
Cool. Right before I do that, can I mention one of the really weird things that I found? And the reason I want to mention is because it just keeps coming up in my head to talk about. One of the really strange things that we found, because, and when I say we, I mean me and the founder of Access Consciousness, we were, after, you know, months of him coming to me for sessions, we became business partners and started exploring the areas of limitation and how to unlock it together. And one of the weirdest things that we found, because we thought everybody wanted change, and we would try so hard, and I'm sure nobody that's listening right now ever does this, but we did. We would always try to change those people that didn't actually want it, the people that just sat there in judgment and crossed their arms, and we would make ourselves wrong when they wouldn't open up and blossom like the flower we thought they should be able to. You know what I mean?
Right.
So one of the things we found is that there literally appear to be two different types of people on the planet. And we affectionately call them cow people and horse people. And cow people We have other names for it, but I'll get to that in a minute.
And just two types, Dane? Just two, huh? Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I know, exactly, right? Just two. See, we made everything simple. Okay. But the cow people, you know how cows are willing to sort of sit out in the pasture and chew their cud, and they don't really want to move very fast and really want to ever do anything different. And, you know, they're just waiting to be turned into hamburger, and that's okay for them. Okay, cool. And the cow people are the ones who are always in judgment of you, who are always telling you, oh, why do you keep trying to do all that weird stuff? Why do you read all them books? Why can't you just sit down on the couch with a couch potato wand and drink a beer and be happy, stupid, weirdo, freak? Those are the cow people, okay?
Oh, I know some. I live in the South.
I know, right? When you have them in your life, you're always making yourself wrong in comparison to them. And they're always in judgment of you, and they always think they're right. So, oh, by the way, I'm going to take a side note, if I may, for a moment. How many people out there listening to your show right now probably think they're judgmental? Probably a lot, right?
Sure.
So here's the thing. If you've ever had the thought that you're judgmental, you are not judgmental. Somebody who's truly judgmental never thinks, oh, my God, I'm so judgmental. They just know they're right all the time.
Ah, good point, Dane. That's a really good point.
So that's the thing, is if you think you're judgmental, you're not. Truly, judgmental people just know they're right. So I'm going to speak in a process here, and then I'll explain it a little bit later as I go through this cow people thing. But I really would love people to have this info, because it's such a source of judgment of them when they're around cow people and they think, oh, my God, why can't I change them? And then also they're around these cow people and they feel less about themselves all the time. And that's what I'd like to change. So let's do this. So everywhere where you have made yourself wrong and decided that you're a judgmental person, would you be willing to let that go and destroy all those places and uncreate them, please?
Yes.
And a yes will. Cool. Thank you. Times a godzillion, which is a number so big only God knows. Right and wrong, good and bad, pot and pock, all nine, shorts, boys, and beyonds. Okay. Now, some people may notice something is just shifting slightly in their headspace. Some people will notice tingles in their body. Some people won't notice anything at all, and it's all okay. It doesn't matter. Okay, so those are the cow people. Let's talk about the horse people. The horse people are the ones who are like, you know how horses, when they're being them, they're like, oh, let's run and play and jump and have sex and eat and run and play and have sex and jump and eat and run and play and, oh, my God, can I jump over that? Oh, check it out, I jumped over that. Hey, you should try jumping over that. Oh, my God, that was so much fun. Wow, this is so cool. I love being alive. Wow. Okay, those are the horse people. Now, horse people are traditionally in judgment of themselves, like wondering, why can't I do this right? Why do I always feel wrong? Why does everybody always call me weird? Why can't I have a job for longer than 6 months without getting so bored I just want to kill myself? Those are horse people. So
okay.
Horse people are always in judgment of themselves, wondering why they're wrong and wondering what to do about it. And they're always the ones who have the point of view of, how does it get any better than this? They're always looking for a different way to do it, because doing it the same way is not only boring, it's ineffective. Change is the thing that flows through their veins that is the only reason to wake up in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
And they made themselves wrong for it most of their lives. So we have actually have two different names for these different groups, okay? The cow people, we call them humans, and the horse people, we call them humanoids. So if you've been spending your entire life in judgment of you, or at least parts of it, thinking you're a judgmental person and feeling you're wrong and feeling you're weird, you're a humanoid. It's okay. You're just different. You're just different. And what if that difference were the greatness of you and the greatness that the world required? So everything you've done to judge you for being as different as you are and as weird as you are, and not realizing that that is exactly the change the world requires right now, you being that different, you being that less judgmental, you being that more fun and more abundant. Everything that doesn't allow you to know that, will you destroy and uncreate it, please?
Yes.
I'm the Godzillion. Right, wrong, good, bad, all nine, pod, pock, shorts, boys, and meons. Now, lest you think I'm doing some weird voodoo on you, that right and wrong, good and bad, pot and pock, all nine, shorts, boys, and meons, is short form for a clearing statement that has several pages of stuff, all in plain English. It's just quicker to say it in that way. And there's an explanation on my website, which is accessdane.com, and Dane is spelled D-A-I-N. There's an explanation on my website about what that is, but basically, what I consider this thing, this little clearing statement, is your magic wand. You know how when you were a little kid, you know how you thought, oh my God, I should be able to point my magic wand and change everything in the world that I want to change? Remember?
Sure.
Well, right? Well, here it is. Literally, you can call up an energy by asking a question about anything or saying a statement about anything that you want to get clarity on. So, for example, you can say, okay, so everything that makes me judge me right now, I destroy and uncreate it. And then you run that clearing statement, and it asks the energy to go back to all the places where you planted those seeds of judgment as necessity. Even if you bought them from somebody else, even if they're, you know, your mom's points of view, your dad's, or somebody else's, and it invites those seeds of judgment and those seeds of limitation to dissolve. So you'd be, and so if you wanted to do that, you'd say, okay, so everything that makes me judge me right now, I now destroy and uncreate it. Right and wrong, good and bad, pot and pock, all nine, shorts, boys, and meons. Or you could just say pod and pock all that, P-O-D and P-O-C, P-O-C, which stands for point of destruction and point of creation. Or you could just say all that weird stuff Dane said on the radio the other day, and it will still work.
Okay.
Now, so the funny part is people, you know, I'll give this to people, and people totally discount it because they think, oh, well, if it were that easy, somebody would have given it to me a long time ago. No. This is one of those things you had to find on your own. I'm sorry. And really, it is that easy. Because, you know, at the beginning of the hour, you talked about me traveling the world and facilitating people and inviting them to greater possibilities. I got to tell you, you know, it's like 11 years ago, I was a guy in his chiropractic office, not knowing how he was going to, you know, pay everything and have the life that he wanted to have with a relationship with a woman that didn't really care about him, even though he thought she did, with a car that he didn't really like, living in paradise, feeling like he was the only one that didn't get it. This one tool has contributed more to changing that than almost anything I could give you. And so it's like, for me, I don't quite know how to tell people it doesn't matter where you are. It's like, what would you like to start changing right now? Let's work on that because it's going to open the door to letting you know change is possible. So I asked about doing this a few minutes ago before I went into explaining all of that stuff. So what is it do you suppose that your listeners might most like to change or know or have different in their lives?
Well, you know, with the economy, I know, you know, the majority of people are all, you know, in that mindset of kind of the rat on the wheel, you know, and there's not enough living, there's too much existing. And so I think in a nutshell, on a general premise, that would be something that, you know, kind of encapsulates kind of the majority of people. There's always love, relationships, you know, all of that's always a big draw. People seeking a mate who really gets and connects and understands and accepts them. But I think there's that inner angst that really wants to settle down, that sense of peace, that sense of continuity within themselves that really gives some authenticity to who they are and their purpose and plan. You know, just a real connectedness and an acceptance of that the path they're on is one step better than, you know, ahead each day.
So I love what you said at the very beginning. That was brilliant because you said, you know, with this economy, it seems like now there's so much existing and so little living. And, you know, what's very interesting is the way you put that is the way that I would put it if I were working with somebody, because what most people do is they go, well, with this economy, okay, what do I need to do about my money situation? And I go, totally get that. So let's get your judgments off about the money situation. But what's more valuable is that you start to live instead of just exist. Because
right.
if you do, you'll find a way to create money. Most people are not aware that there have been more millionaires created since 2009 than at any other time in history.
Wow.
The number of millionaires dynamically increased with our financial crisis. Isn't that interesting?
That is interesting, yeah.
So
yeah.
It literally, it's your point of view that creates your reality. And what this does, this clearing statement, and this idea of asking questions to change things and open up possibilities, is it starts to change your point of view. And when you start to realize that you can have a different point of view, then you start to create magic because you open up the space for it to exist. So, and this is actually, this is one of the things that I talk about a lot in the book, in Being You, Changing the World, because of that, because most people don't realize that it's their point of view that creates their reality, and it, even if they do, they have no idea how to change it. It's like,
right.
you think your point of view, you know? And
right.
so, and being a humanoid, you're continuously in judgment of you for not being able to change it, or not being able to change it quick enough, or not being able to make the right point of view that would make the, you know, give you the living you're looking for. So let's do a little bit of something right now. And that is, since the financial crisis occurred a few years ago, it's like most people have noticed that they've had more stress around money since then, right? Well, what if 98% of your thoughts, your feelings, your emotions, your judgments, and your feelings about money, living, and that life is getting more difficult, what if 98% of your thoughts, feelings, and emotions don't actually belong to you? What if they're actually in the world around us and we've been picking them up and acting that they're like they're ours and then sending them on to somebody else who magnifies them and multiplies them? So let's do this. That's another weird piece of information that I found in doing this access work, is that literally 98% of your thoughts, your feelings, and your emotions don't even belong to you. You're just like a big psychic radio receiver picking them up all the time. And when I got this tool, I was like, what? Are you kidding me? And I'm like, no way. That can't be the case. That is ridiculous. Somebody would have told me this before now. Oh, that again. And I was given this tool, and I used to literally lay in bed depressed and cry until my fiance went to work, until I had to go to work. And there it was. I'd written it down. The tool is, you ask, who does this belong to? To every thought, feeling, and emotion you have for 3 days. And if it lightens up at all when you ask, who does this belong to? Let's say you're in the middle of an intensity of, oh my God, I can't pay my bills. You ask, who does this belong to? If that feeling lightens up at all, it's not yours. You're just picking it up from somewhere, even if it makes no sense. And you don't have to know where it comes from, but you just ask this, who does that belong to? So I was sitting there in the middle of this depression 11 years ago, and it was dynamically different than it had been. And I knew I wasn't going to kill myself, but I was still having tears and fear and all this stuff come up. And I went, who does that belong to? And instantly it vanished.
Huh.
And I went, wait a minute. I've been having this, it was like the elephant on my head. I've been having this elephant on my head for years. And instantaneously, with one question, it disappeared so dynamically that it surprised me. It was almost like a jolt. And I went, are you kidding me? And on the one hand, I was overjoyed because the elephant lifted off my head. On the other hand, I was pissed off because it was like, somebody should have told me that when I was born, you know?
Right.
I mean, really? Shouldn't, I mean, if it's that simple, should not someone have told you that? And, well, apparently somebody should have, but they didn't. So that's why I'm telling people, if you're not born yet, please give this to the people that are about to be, you know? So that's one aspect of this thing with living versus existing, is that literally 98% of your thoughts, feelings, and emotions aren't yours. And when we all get focused on an idea, we create that as the external reality. So...
Right.
what ideas are you focusing on that aren't even yours that you're creating as a reality that you don't want to be creating? Everything that is and everything you've done to buy it as yours, will you now destroy and uncreate it and return it to sender, please?
Yes.
Thank you. Right, time's a godzillion. Right, wrong, good, bad, all nine, pod, poc, shorts, boys, and beyond. Okay, so I'm just trying to see where we can go. What I'm doing actually is doing my best to perceive the energy of everybody listening and see what, you know, what is possible to give them that might create just a tiny change in their day. So, what is it that keeps you from seeing how truly phenomenal you are and your ability to create? Now, for a lot of people, something will come up, you know. For a lot of people, it'll just be an energy where it's like, eh, me create? Are you kidding? No way. Or my parents, or the abuse I suffered, or. So everything that is that keeps you from seeing how phenomenal you are and your capacity to create, will you destroy and create it, please?
Yes.
Time's a godzillion. Right, wrong, good, bad, all nine, pod, poc, shorts, boys, and meons. Okay, so let's see. So what judgment do you use to stop you from the joy of being you? And whose judgments are they? Everything that is, times a godzillion, will you destroy and create it, please?
Yes.
Right and wrong, good and bad, pot and pock, all nine, shorts, boys, and meons. Okay, now, what possibilities have you decided are now impossibilities for you, which is why you now exist rather than live exuberantly? Everything that is, times a godzillion, will you destroy and create it, please?
Yes.
Right and wrong, good and bad, pot and pock, all nine, shorts, boys, and meons. What joy are you refusing that you truly could be choosing that if you would choose it would change your whole reality to something that was a life you liked and loved to live? Everything that makes you refuse that joy, will you destroy and create it, please?
Yes.
Time's a godzillion, right, wrong, good, bad, all nine, pod, poc, shorts, boys, and meons. Here's something most people don't know. We actually have to refuse to receive in order to not receive.
Huh.
Which is really, I mean, once again, this, like almost everything else I've said this morning, seems so against the grain of what other people are talking about, and it goes so in the face of every friggin' metaphysical tradition and every self-help everything that's out there. And I'm so aware of that. And I got to tell you, I and the thousands of people that I've worked with over the last 11 years are living proof that looking from this different place actually works to create change dynamically. And for me, it's the only thing that ever has that dynamically and that consistently and that's continued to grow. So what if you knew that change was indeed possible? So everything you've done to destroy your willingness to know that huge change is actually possible for you, and not only possible, but something you can easily create when you choose to, will you destroy and create it, please?
Yes.
Time's a godzillion, right, wrong, good, bad, all nine, pod, poc, shorts, boys, and meons. So all the judgments from other people that you bought that make you now believe that change isn't possible, will you destroy and create all that, please?
Yes.
It's a godzillion, right, wrong, good, bad, all nine, pod, pop, shorts, boys, and meons. And all the judgments you're using to keep you from the joy of being alive and the joy of being exuberant and the joy of being as different as you are, humanoid, will you destroy and create all that, please?
Yes.
The godzillion, right, wrong, good, bad, all nine, pod, poc, shorts, boys, and meons. So one thing, the reason for making that human and humanoid distinction earlier was not so people would judge humans, you know, the people that live in the same house for 30 years or do the same job for 40 years and get a plastic watch and die. You know, that's not the point. The point is to come out of judgment of you for being different and step into the greatness of that difference and allow yourself to just enjoy being as different as you are and realize that's not a wrongness. So everything you've done to make being the difference you are a wrongness, will you destroy and ungrade all that, please?
Yes.
I'm the Godzillion, right, wrong, good, bad, all nine, pod, poc, shorts, boys, and meons. Okay, so what I'm hoping for with this, you know, I do classes that are anywhere between 1 day and 3 days, you know, all the way up to 7 days. And so, you know, in an hour together doing some of this, what I'm hoping is that it knocks off the cobwebs that don't allow you to know that change and choice are actually possible, so that whatever way that needs to show up for you, it can show up. In other words, you know, I don't have the delusion that me running these processes is going to change everything in your life. I'm just hoping it changes enough to where you see a different possibility and can more easily head in that direction.
And then
again,
so,
it could change.
Go ahead. I'm sorry, Dane.
No, go ahead.
You're going to say I could change your whole life. Is that what you were going to say?
Yeah, I said it could. You never know. You never know what that's going to take.
Now, in changing the energy that we're going through, because as you were doing this, I did feel quite a lot going on here, physically, energetically, emotionally. It's a bit of a perceptional change, would you say? I mean, in addition to the energetics that's being worked within, it tends to shift a perspective in regard to how you're viewing things. For me, that's what I was getting with moving through this with you as you were talking us through this. Is that common? Is that a common experience?
Yes, actually it is. In fact, that's one of the biggest things that begins the shift for people, because a lot of people, you know, it's one of the biggest things that begins the shift. And when I would first get this verbal processing, I didn't necessarily know if something was going on. In other words, I didn't have that sort of tap into that particular kind of energy. And so I was like, okay, is anything happening? And then I would leave, you know, I'd get up after an hour of it and hardly be able to walk and feel so lightheaded. I was like, oh, something happened. Cool. You know, so it is for the what I've noticed and what so many of the people that I've worked with have said is the biggest part of the shift initially is a perceptual shift. And that's really the beauty of it, because when you change your perception, you change how you look at the world. And when you change that, you change how you receive the world. And when you change that, you change how you can be in the world, and then also what you can have and what you can create and what you can generate and do.
Now, how do they hold on to this perceptional change? Because I know in working with clients, sometimes there's people who get it and they grasp a different concept or perception and they can move through it and they can create change in their lives positively. And then there's those, like you were defining as the cow state people, who really, you know, their stubborn head just really doesn't allow them to receive and accept and move through. Do they need to come back for additional training, treatments, classes? Do some people need more assistance than others? Are there tools that are given or to help maintain, you know, that level or expand upon that level? Because you know, I've seen people they leave and they're, you know, 2 feet higher than when they walked in, and then they'll come back 2 weeks later and they're right back to where it's, you know, square one. So where can they go in regard to maintaining that optimum state of, you know, staying on course and not getting dragged down? Because we're always tempted, we're always tested. Life is one big, you know, mill of lessons, and depending upon our own core, we vibrate in those lessons one way or the other. So I guess going back to my original question would be, is there a way that they can help maintain that state, that elevation?
Well, here's the thing. Rather than maintain it, what about go further?
Right.
See, anytime you try to maintain something, you know, it's like try to hold energy. Can you? Well,
right.
No, because it's energy. So you can't actually maintain an energetic state, and that's one of the biggest things that sticks us. And I used to do the same thing continuously. I'd be like, oh my gosh, I feel so good today. This is so amazing. Oh, today's the day where it's all going to stay. But because I had that point of view, I wasn't moving forward into what else was created by the space I just stepped into, and then it started closing down again. So rather than maintain it, so here's what I would do. Well, that's actually a really large question. I'd love to have a lot more time to answer, but let's have the do this. So everything that you currently have in place that makes you believe that you need to try to maintain an energetic state, rather than asking what's next, what else is possible, and what can I create from here, will you destroy and create all that, please?
Yes.
Time's a gazillion, right? Wrong, good, bad, all nine, Todd, Puck, Shorts, Boys, and Beyonds. And so the thing with that is, for me, when somebody comes up with something like that that I know is going to be a roadblock in their path, if we're doing a session or a class together, then let's address the roadblock, and then let's destroy and uncreate it and pot and pocket. And
okay.
That goes a much further way, because what this does is it changes your past. We're literally going to the point of creation of where you lock the seed to this limitation in place, whether it was last week or 100 billion years ago and thousands of lifetimes ago. It doesn't matter. We're asking it to go to that place and dissolve that limitation. And it does, because ask and you shall receive. You just have to have the right tools. So the other thing that I do with people when we're in class is we give them lots and lots of tools to take home. And so that when you're in the middle of, you know, fighting with your spouse or something and you want to change it, you actually have the tools to do it. And so if you didn't have to maintain this energetic state, what else could you create from here? Because let me also address the other aspect of your question, which was those cow people that don't really want to change. Okay, so cow people, we call those guys, you know, when you're around the cow people that don't really want to change, don't try to change them. And I'll tell you, this particular work, cow people, you know, the humans of the world, the people that want to stay in judgment and have the rightness of their point of view, they don't want to change anything. So
mm-hmm.
Rather than, I mean, I don't find that I work with very many of those cow people anymore at all. What I'm interested in is, you know, and it's like the first line of my book. And the first line of my book is, I didn't write this book for everyone. I wrote it for the few, the dreamers who know something else should be possible. And those are the people that, for me, I want to work with. And I don't care. I'm not saying I want to work with the stars who know everything is possible and blah, blah, blah. Not that. All I'm saying is, if instead of trying to put our energy into those people that truly don't desire change, if we just let them go into their lives and not have to try to change them anymore, and we were totally okay with that, like, what if it weren't our job anymore to try to change the humans of the world, the cow people of the world?
Sure.
What if, as the humanoid weirdo you are, the one that actually wants change, what if you didn't have to anymore try to change those totally stubborn, fixed point of view, non-changing people that you keep judging you for not changing? So everything that makes you believe it's your job to change the cow people of the world into horse people, will you get over that point of view and will you destroy and uncreate it, please?
Yes.
Time's a gazillion, right? Wrong, good, bad, all nine, Pod, Pock, Shorts, Boys, and Beyonds. And when I'm doing this processing, thank you for being the one to say yes. I'm, you know, doing it, as you know, doing it for you and everybody else listening, because if you're hearing my voice
yes.
right now, it's, you know, it's for you. So you've mentioned many times during the hour, you know, those people that are resistant to changing and those people that are resistant to changing. And for me, I will, if somebody truly doesn't desire to change, I don't want to force it on them, because that's a superior point of view, you know, where I try to get them to change. I would like to work with the people that actually desire to change and have fun playing with them. So what if that were okay? Once again, what if it were, because you can either spend a huge amount of your energy in that direction and feel totally, totally zapped, totally sapped, totally fruitless and like a total failure, or you can put your energy in the direction of what you would like to create and realize that the people in your life that don't want to change probably never will.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that sounds heavy to some people, but What if that were okay? What if you could be an allowance of that? In other words, allow that to be their choice without having to judge them for it and without having to judge you for it. So everything you've done to judge you for the people around you that won't change, and everything you've done, will you destroy and create all that, please?
Yes.
I'm the Godzillion, right, wrong, good, bad, all nine, pod, pot, shorts, boys and meons. And secondly, everything you've done to compress yourself into the size of the box of their life, rather than exploding into the size of the life and living you would truly like to have, believing that you need to come back and get small so you can have a connection with them and try to bring them up, will you destroy and create it, please?
Yes.
I'm the Godzillion, right, wrong, good, bad, all nine, pod, pot, shorts, boys and meons. What if our job were not working to change the fixed-minded people, but working with the open-minded people to create more possibility than the fixed-minded people will ever in a billion years get is possible?
That would be a glorious thing.
Well, and here's another tool for you and everybody else is that what's true will always make you feel lighter. It'll kind of put a smile on your face. It'll kind of open up your heart. It'll kind of feel good. And what's a lie will always make you feel heavier. So when I said that, did it make you feel lighter?
It did. It did make me feel lighter. It was that release.
Yeah. And what that is that's the acknowledgement of something that's true. Okay, and please, everybody, take this tool into your lives. If something makes you feel heavier, it's a lie for you. And the other thing that you can do, you asked Lisa, about maintaining this energy. Well, for me, this is an acknowledgement of the energy of being, and what we're doing is we're undoing the straps and the concrete that you placed around you that keep you tethered and bound to feeling heavy and feeling limited and feeling small. And when you do, you start to feel lighter and you start to get more of the energy of you. If people were literally to just listen to this call over and over, the clearings that we did today will run deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper. Because what's really required, I think, in answer to your question about having this energy continuously, is steeping yourself in this energy continuously, the energy that is actually truly you. Because we've grown up in the soup of this reality that is so not us, and yet we keep trying to make it us, and we keep trying to make it work, and we get some level of success, and yet a lot of times we feel like we're not in it, like my heart and soul isn't in it. Yeah, so what you need to do is find whatever it is for you that invites you to that energy of being you, and then have as much of it around you as possible, whether it's books, whether it's, like, for example, listening to this call again and again and again, will each time the processes will run deeper, and you'll also get a greater connection to that energy. The other thing is you can go to my website. It's accessdain.com, accessdain.com, and there's some stuff on there that you can get for free. I've also got a YouTube channel, which is drdainhere.com, YouTube/drdainhere, and what's on it is these different videos and these different things that are tools you can use to maintain this energy on a daily basis. And there's one other thing on my website that is a gift. It's called the Tour of Consciousness. And every couple of weeks I send you a free video with a tool from a different place in the world. But it's all about allowing you to keep connecting to that energy of being you and not letting this reality get you down.
Wonderful, wonderful. Dane, you've been an awesome guest. Thank you so much. This is just such an informative show, and I know that you've my chat room is full. It's packed with people. This is probably one of the busiest shows I've seen. So I really want to thank you for being with us today and making the changes that you do everywhere you go, touching everyone's lives that you do. And you've just such a gift. I really, really appreciate you being with us today on Unlimited Realities. God bless you, Dane. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you so much. This has been such a gift. And I would so hope that people would recognize that there is a greater possibility available. because there truly is, and you are it, and you are the change the world requires. Thanks so much for having me. Have a great day.
Oh, thank you, Dane. God bless. Have a wonderful week, everybody. Have unlimited realities everywhere you go. God bless, everyone. Take care. Bye-bye.